Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers in Jesus have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. This mind-expanding fact is made clear in Ephesians chapter 1. Today, another gift God gives to all those who've put their faith in Christ. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, the gifts God gives to all who believe in Christ. Join us now as we come to gift number 4, the gift of sonship.
This is the fourth in a series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed. Blessings that are given and belong to all those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. If you missed the first three messages, I encourage you to listen to them. Predestination, the righteousness of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And today we come to a topic that is so mind-boggling that near the end of this message you may be saying, I can scarcely believe this. A couple of words by way of introduction. First of all, the topic is sonship. But even though I'm going to be using that word and the Bible uses it, I want all of the women to know that they are included in this with all the rights, privileges, and opportunities that are available to you in Jesus Christ. The Bible uses that kind of terminology, but of course, women are included, children are included. It's the inheritance of all those who have put their faith in Christ. Second, if you're the kind of Christian who says, well, you know, I'm not a very good Christian, I hope I can just kind of sneak into heaven. I'll sit in the back row, and for some of you, that's the way in which you do it here at the church, so you'll be used to it. If I sit in the back row and just make it, I want to be anonymous in heaven. Boy, are you ever in for a surprise. Front center, sitting with Jesus on the throne, and you're going to be anonymous? You have no idea what God has prepared for you. None of us really does apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we're going to do. Because the word adoption as sons occurs in a number of different passages, we're going to turn to three of them. Each passage, we're going to learn something. The first two, we're going to try to do very quickly so that we grasp the main point, and then we're going to move to the third, and that's where your mind is going to be so stretched that when we're finished, you're going to say, can this really be true about me? And the answer is yes, if you are among the redeemed. The first passage is Ephesians chapter 1. It's in Ephesians chapter 1 that we learn very quickly that adoption as sons is actually a part of God's eternal program, and that was his intention to save you. We're going to jump right in verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. He didn't choose us because we were holy and blameless, but that we would become holy and blameless before him. And now notice this, in love, and it must have been done in love, because once you understand this, you know, your heart is going to be so stretched. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Wow. So that's why God saved us. And we think to ourselves, well, you know, the real reason that God saved us is just to take away our sins so that we could be in heaven and not hell. His intention in eternity past, the reason that he chose you is because his intention is that you would be adopted into the family of God. Now, let me say that obviously God took the initiative, and in adoption procedures, parents always take the initiative. The child never gets to choose his parents. We know someone who was in an orphanage, and this was a very mean way to do it, but the kids lined up because parents were looking for a child, and this one was always neglected, and somebody else was chosen. Well, none of these children said, well, you know, I don't like these parents. I want to wait until there's some better ones coming along. God made the choice. And as a result of that, why did he do all this? You'll notice, to the praise of the honor of his grace. So that throughout heaven, we would be exhibit A of God's matchless, unbelievable grace towards sinners. Unbelievable. God is going to say, I'm going to take the people who are of lowest and the deepest sin, and I am going to exalt them in ways that perhaps have never entered into the human mind. Throughout all of eternity, we are going to be exhibits of God's grace and to his praise. Well, that's the first passage. It was all rooted in God's eternal plan and was the end result of our redemption. Next, Galatians, and in my Bible, you only have to turn it one page back. Now, you know that some of you don't bring Bibles, and some of you have telephones, and welcome, and, you know, look at them. Galatians chapter 4, I have to summarize this also. What Paul is going to argue here in Galatians chapter 4, I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. You could be born into a family where there were hundreds of millions of dollars, but you as a child can't really benefit from it. You can't write any checks. You can't buy a car. You can't go and have lunch in a wonderful restaurant. Because you can't enter into it, you're a child. And Paul will say that these kinds of children, they are under tutors and they are under instructors and they're under rules. And of course they are. Our children had rules when they were very, very young. You know, you don't play with the outlets, the electrical things. You don't have a knife in your hand. You don't touch a hot stove. But after they get old, you don't need those rules anymore. What Paul is going to say here is that the rules represent Israel under the law. Under the law, they were like children. They were given the law. They were supposed to order their life according to the law. But now that Jesus Christ has come, all that has changed, and they are being adopted as sons. So here we get to a definition of adoption. Adoption, really, and this, of course, was true also in Roman adoption. Adoption means that God puts you into his family as an adult son or daughter, and therefore you have all the rights and all the privileges, and all of your inheritance comes along with that adoption, and you can begin to enjoy it right away on earth. Though, of course, its eventual enjoyment will be heaven. What I mean to say is this. Let's suppose that you have been saved for 40 years. You've walked with God all these years, and some of you have. But among us, there may be those who are brand new Christians. Maybe you received Christ as Savior last Sunday because you prayed that prayer in sincerity and you were born again. And of course, your state is quite different from someone sitting next to you who's been saved so many years. Your state is different, but your status as a son or daughter is exactly the same. You see, it's one thing for you to have a condition. Your condition might be a baby, but your position is an adopted son or daughter of God and all that it entails. And it's all because of the coming of Jesus making this available. Now, all that to set us up for the real passage. The real passage that I want you to turn to is the 8th chapter of Romans. Everyone looking at Romans chapter 8, please. You know, if the Bible were a ring, I think that the diamond would be the book of Romans, and then the very tip of the diamond would be the 8th chapter. What a marvelous chapter. Now, let's read it, and then we're going to see this. Not only was adoption in eternity past in God's mind, not only is it because of grace, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, not under the law, it's under grace, because you see, grace doesn't take into account any of the ideas of merit. It is totally independent. That's why it is that great sinners can be saved and lesser ones can be saved, because grace doesn't pay attention to merit. It's unrelated to it. Now, with that background, let's look at Romans chapter 8, which is what I thought I had before me, but it's happening here. Now, let's look in verse 12. So, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Let's stop there before we get to this entire Trinity that you're going to be involved with. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, we're led of the Spirit because we make this decision and that decision, and it'll keep me from bad decisions. Not necessarily. What he's talking about here is being led of the Spirit in being free from the impulses and the tyranny of the flesh and being able to walk in the Spirit. That's really what the Spirit helps us do. He says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Now, if you don't know Christ as Savior, I suggest that you ought to live in fear. You ought to live in fear when you go down the streets of Chicago, and with all of the crime that is happening, you ought to live in fear because of what is happening on our expressways. And you should lay down and put your head down and know that you could die during the night. You ought to live in fear. That's not true of the inheritance of the redeemed, because we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, I believe that our lives would be completely revolutionized if we began to have a better grasp as to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and all the blessings that really come to us because of Him. That's why I've preached this series of messages. It's entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings That Belong to All Those Who Put Their Trust in Christ. What an encouragement I hope that this is for you and for your friends. Pick up the phone, invite others to listen to Running to Win so that they might better understand all that Jesus has done for us. And as I continue the message, which you will hear next time on sonship, you will be amazed at what God includes in sonship for us as His children. If you are blessed as a result of Running to Win, go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org. Click the contact button and let us know. In that way, you will be a great blessing to us.
Many Christians may not know that they've been adopted into the family of God. This adoption confers the rights of sonship on all who believe, meaning they'll take part in an eternal inheritance. Next time on Running to Win, more on what this means. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.